and girls.
It's wild, it's wacky, it's slick, it's savvy. It's the Madcap Daffy, fresher, ding-a-ling, ring-a-ding, loony, zany, side-splitting, rib-tickling, slap-happy, scuzzy, dreary, irksome, tedious, banal, pointless, smutty world of...
The Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Let's be real. I'm all about being real. Well, I mean, I'm real all the time.
Dynamic, isn't it?
Jeff Lutz.
Let's do. Let's be real.
We like it.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two of the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. We've got Joanna Chadwick leading off hour number two. The big fella Anthony with me today. Happy to have him along. 869-1240, the hotline, sponsored by our friends at IHOP. They have your favorites available Monday through Friday for just $6 at IHOP. All right, here's Joanna. Hello, Joanna. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
We're doing well. So we're going to simplify this. We're just going to go down the classes and kind of hit it that way today. And we'll start in 6A where we have on the west side of the bracket, which is what we're focusing on, Derby and Wichita East. And Manhattan and Northwest in a rematch up in Manhattan. Do we think either of these games has any potential for an upset, and that upset would be Derby losing or Manhattan losing?
So I think Manhattan and Northwest, that one would be the one I would watch the closest, simply because they've played already this year. And so Northwest having that knowledge of Manhattan, that experience of it, I think could result in an upset. I don't know if it will, though. I think Manhattan is really strong, and I think it's going to be tough to beat them, but I think that one has a possibility for it. I don't think Derby is going to lose to East, but I think that East is going to make it the toughest game that Derby has had yet. I think they're physical. I think that they're athletic. And they're very disciplined. I think that it is going to cause some problems for Derby. But I think that Derby continues to prove that they have an excellent defense and an offense that can score any way you want.
Yes, Joanna, this is Anthony. And I am just curious because Bob has already put his prediction out about what he thinks the final score is going to be, especially between Derby and East. And last week was Derby's closest game to date. So do you see it being...
But it wasn't close.
See this being that type of a game? Will Derby be able to rest their players? Or do you think East has a little bit more fight than what Derby went up against last week?
Okay, so I admit that it was their closest game, but it was 42-14. And Derby was up 42-0 at the half. And Junction City scored at the end of the third quarter and at the end of the game. That game was not close. It was not. This game.
Anthony wants Derby to have a close game, Joanna.
Well, I mean, no doubt that Derby needs to be tested if they're going to win a state title. There's no doubt about it. This will test them. But I don't think that this is going to be a 22-21 game. Maybe it would be 42-21. So is that close? It's closer.
Or 42-14, like my prediction.
There you go. I don't have a prediction on
score. There you go.
I don't do predictions on scores, but it certainly wasn't close last week, and I think Derby will be just fine tonight.
All right, let's move into 5A with our guest Joanna Chadwick from Vipe Magazine. Two interesting games for sure. Hayes and Hutchinson, I'm fascinated by that game. Hayes has really built a good program. They don't have a great record, but that win last week at Great Bend was impressive. And then Hutchinson is certainly a team worth watching. And on the other side, you've got Topeka Seaman, which really handled Valley Center. Against Goddard Eisenhower, a very good team that put up 37 against May South. I think these games could be really close.
I think this could be interesting. Hayes intrigues me simply because their schedule is so tough. And while their record may not have stood up to other teams' records, they open with Derby. I know they've played other teams, possibly Manhattan in there. They've played some really tough teams. Now, when you're talking about, sorry, my brain just died on me. Who is Hayes playing?
Hutchinson.
Hutchinson, okay. Hutchinson's record.
You know that town 50 miles from here?
Thank you, Bob. That the problem with Hutchinson's record is that while it is good, they have the same issue as Derby. They play in a very, very weak ABCTL Division One, and I think Hutch is going to have a very tough time beating Hayes. As for Eisenhower, I'm going to go ahead and take Eisenhower over Seaman. I think that their schedule probably stands up a little bit more. That's just what I think.
Yes, Joanne, I have another question for you, because here's another intriguing one. They're ranked number 4 in 5A, St. James Academy with a 5-5 record, taking on a Blue Valley North with a 3-7 record. How do you spin that?
Go ahead, Joanna.
We could certainly talk about Bishop Miege's record at 3 wins as well. I mean, you play in a really tough league, and you win at the right time. And, I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't know the East teams as well as the West teams.
Right.
But certainly, I think when you play in a really tough league and you come out with a poor record, you're often overlooked. And I would imagine that St. James is not overlooking anyone just because of their record.
I will say this about the East bracket in Class 5A. Aquinas Mill Valley on the other side of that bracket is one of the best games we've ever seen in the playoffs. So very interested in the outcome of that one, because both are state championship caliber teams and programs. Let's move into 4A, where we have Bueller on the road at Wamego, which has really been really good the last couple of years. And then we have Andover Central at home against Wellington. I find that to be maybe the most fascinating game of all of them tonight. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with that. You know how much I hate agreeing with you. I think Bueller is going to really struggle with Wamego. But Andover Central and Wellington, I mean, Wellington has just, they've had a strong season. They used those first couple losses that they had against two really top teams in the state. And they've used it, and I think that they've become tougher. They've got to be scary for Andover Central to deal with. I think the one thing that really is going to help Andover Central, I mean, once you get past the talent at quarterback, the talent on their line, is when you talk about this is a team that consistently is vying for a state championship, and Wellington does not have that same level of experience. I think it makes a difference this time of year.
All right. I have a good one for you. Andale Cheney. That is a very intriguing game. How do you see that one going?
Well, that is a good one, and I'm glad you brought that one up. I was surprised last week with the Cheney Collegiate score, if I remember correctly, it was pretty lopsided. That surprised me, but, you know, Cheney's got the – they're carrying a lot with them right now in that they beat Andale twice last year. I mean, this is a game – that if I wasn't going to be at Derby tonight, that's where I would be, because I would love to see these two teams. I don't know. It's just such an intriguing storyline. I'm taking Andale in it, though.
Yeah, last week, Collegiate lost to Cheney 14-6. So a better game than I think you thought, but still a revenge win for Cheney. Andale with an 80-game home winning streak. Very tough. Shelby Werman can really coach. He's one of the brightest coaches in the state. I don't know. Andale looks like they're having one of those special years. Let's look into 2A. Holcomb, Scott City, not in our area. So let's look into 2A, where we have really only Garden Plain playing, and they play Beloit. And as we talked about earlier in the week when we had Todd Rice on, from Garden Plain. I covered a game there in 1976, the 2A title game. between Beloit and Garden Plain, believe it or not, and it was the coldest night I've ever, or it was actually on a Saturday afternoon, the coldest football game I'd ever been to. Garden Plain, we haven't talked a whole lot about them, but boy, what a program and what a story. Do they, Beloit's really good. Does Garden Plain have it in them?
Well, I don't know why Garden Plain doesn't. I mean, I would love to see that. I've got a very soft heart for Garden Plain. I covered them a lot. I love the people in the press box. No idea if those guys are still around, but they were always so good to me. I remember covering games there, pregnant as all can be, and covering playoff games at Garden Plain. So I follow, I'm trying to think of what his name is, on Twitter. It's like Old GP or old, I can't remember what his name is.
Yeah, Old Garden Plain. Yeah. We've actually communicated with him on the show this week.
Well, he's been posting all those old videos, and I'm like, I'm sure I was at that game. So I'm really excited to see them back there, and of course they've got a really good kicker at Garden Plain. I don't know, maybe it'll come down to the kicking game. That'd be fun.
And then finally, Joanna, and we'll, Anthony may have another question about a game that he's interested in, but Class 1A, you've got defending champion Conway Springs. They're still alive. They're playing Plainville tonight at 6 o'clock. And then in the other bracket, Medicine Lodge from the same league headed up to Valley Heights to play. Do we like Conway Springs and Medicine Lodge for a potential meeting next week?
I mean, that'd be really cool to see. I think Conway Springs will definitely get there. Both of them have tough games. I mean, I would love to be able to see the two of them play. Of course, I love watching Conway Springs play, and Matthew has been around for a really long time. I think they both have a shot at it. I think Conway probably has a better shot.
Big fella, you got anything else for Joanna, because I got something I want to talk to her about.
I'm all good. I just want to say, keep those chip infomercials coming on TikTok. She knows what I'm talking about.
I don't know anything about that. Joanna, what are you doing on TikTok?
Chips and Chadwick, baby. It's hilarious.
You've been called out.
I don't care. I realize how silly it is, but my students think it's hilarious. Like, come into class and say, hey, I saw your chips and chat. I was okay.
She made me do it, too. I was at work. She
You're making me feel old. I don't do TikTok. I did create a Blue Sky account. Is that pretty cool?
I created one yesterday as well, so.
Now I feel old.
It's pretty boring. There's nothing happening there, but we'll give it a shot. So Joanna is also a journalism instructor at Derby, and you know, I'm a graduate of Derby, and I've followed their sports programs for my entire life, and it's where I grew up. I started going to games there as a kid. Derby has an incredible heritage as a football factory. It's always tough to quantify things. It's difficult. But one of the reasons I get on you about Derby's not going to – this isn't going to be a close game tonight.
We
did. We already settled it. But one of the reasons I'm adamant about this is not to deride East. I have great respect. I happen to think this might be the best Derby team in history. Is there that kind of talk going around Derby, Joanna, or is that crazy?
I don't think it's crazy, and this is where you and I are different. You are someone who makes these proclamations, and you have the facts to back it up. I am more careful. I don't like it when people come at me and be like, that's the stupidest comment you've ever made. I have always kind of avoided those big decrees of this is the greatest. You love those conversations. I think it's really difficult to look at a team in the middle of the season and say this is one of the greatest ever. I think it will be a lot easier to do that postseason. The only way this is the greatest team ever is if they win a state title. That's the only way. But then the conversation always comes up with, okay, does it come down to who did they churn out in their program? Does it come down to Division I athletes? What does it come down to? How do we determine? Is it by how many points they gave up? Because let me tell you something, Derby doesn't play their starters much past midway through the third quarter. Those points that their defense has given up, except for the Hayes game, has all been on their second or third or fourth team players. So their schedule is also really, really weak. But yet, I understand what we're looking at. We're looking at a secondary with phenomenal athletes, phenomenal players, very smart secondary in James Middlebrook and Martell Jackson, who's headed to K-State, and Brayson Williams and Easton Splane. That secondary really shuts down teams' abilities to pass the ball, which I think will be key tonight. I think it puts East in a position where we've got two of the top running backs going against each other tonight, in Bohannon and Finley. And so it allows Derby to be more of a dual threat than it allows East to be a dual threat. And so, I'm not saying it's the greatest ever, but wow, it's a great conversation piece.
Well, in a couple weeks, you and the big fella and Jeff and whomever will be thinking to themselves, if you're not saying it, man, Bob was right again. So there you go.
Oh, yeah, that's what keeps
Joanna,
me up at night.
Of course, I can't, as I said, I can't quantify it. I've only seen this Derby team play on film a little bit on YouTube and whatever other highlights. But the reason I made that proclamation is because this team may be better defensively than it is offensively, and they're really, really good offensively. So, yeah, Manhattan could be a real test, or Northwest, yeah, or whomever is in that bracket from the northeastern part of the state, undoubtedly. But I just think this is one of those special teams, and I think we have that with Andale as well this year, and I'd be surprised if either of them didn't get to the finish line.
I don't think it's a crazy statement to make, and I think that what you just said there with the defense, to me, that's what sets everything apart, because Derby has had outstanding quarterbacks and running backs in the past. They've had the Gatorade Player of the Year at running back, at quarterback, but that defense is really, really special.
All right, we end our segment on a very positive, uplifting note. Thank you, Joanna. We always appreciate
it. That's what I'm here for. Bye, guys.
All right, there you go. Lots of interesting games tonight across the state of Kansas. In high school football, the playoffs next week, of course, the semifinals, and then the Saturday after Thanksgiving, November 30th, we'll have all the championships decided. It's been a fun high school season. There's been really dominant teams this year, to the point where, as I just mentioned, it's almost like their games are a fait accompli in many instances. I view that to be the case tonight with Derby and Andale, as good as Cheney and Wichita East are. But we'll see. That's why we play the games. Maybe right. I'll be shocked.
In the famous words, you play to win the game.
You do. You play to win the game. Or as opponents of Derby would say, you play to get to the end of the game so we can go home.
Right. They live for the running clock.
Anyway, good stuff from Joanna Chadwick.
Always, always good.
Philadelphia last night, 26-18. I don't know that the game was quite as close as the score, but the Eagles are back, and Saquon Barkley. Boy, the Giants. The Giants are pretty dumb.
You know what? Speaking of that, because of all the people to comment, Dez Bryant was on X last night. He said the Giants decided to invest in Daniel Jones. And I thought about it. So I responded back to him. I said, yeah, it reminds you of Jerry Jones, doesn't it, when he decided not to invest in DeMarco Murray.
pretty bad move. But, boy, the Philadelphia Eagles are right there. You got to take them seriously. Yeah. Four of us got that game right. Jeff, who's in a terrible slump right now with his picks, missed it.
How did I do last night on that?
You got it, but you only picked it for 2 points. I picked it for 8.
It was a tough game because, I mean, when you think of the Washington Commanders and me being a Dallas Cowboy fan, I can't believe I'm about to say something good because I still refer to them as you know what, and I know we're got sensitive people, so you can't say those names no more. But I like Daniels. I think they're definitely on the right track.
Like that franchise is they found their quarterback, and that's really the main goal for every team in the NFL.
And not only did they find a quarterback, they found their head coach, who is also smart enough to get a competent offensive coordinator that works with quarterbacks in Josh Klingler. I think that's his name.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're doing wonders. I mean, when you have that together, you have the communication between a good quarterback, a good either head coach or a good offensive coordinator, and look like they're going to be there long term. I'm a Cowboys fan. I can't believe I'm – you might get phone calls on this one. I can't believe that I'm actually finding some rooting interest in a team that I despised for years. Am I losing my mind? Don't answer that.
No, absolutely not. All right, we'll take a break and come back with Celise Blow from Wichita State Women's Basketball. She'll join us next.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
We are awaiting Celise Blow from Wichita State Basketball. We expect to hear from her shortly. How about that? That's what I can tell you. Wichita State women lost a home game the other night to Missouri State. They are now 1-2 on the young season, after also losing a game to Missouri Valley Conference member Belmont. So we'll see if they can get things turned around. They have St. Thomas coming up at home tomorrow at 2 o'clock, family day at Coke Arena. Max, let me know when we get her. And in the meantime, back to the big fella, Anthony. Anything on your radar this weekend?
You know,
are you big into college football? Do you pay close attention to the college game?
There's so many moving parts, I can't even keep up with it.
Well, you could just focus on the two Kansas teams. Both of them have interesting games.
Kansas has BYU, and it comes down to this. You're either going to be a KU fan and watch them attempt to be the spoiler, or if you're all about conference, you want BYU to run the table, including the Big 12 championship, so you can have a representative from the Big 12 in the 12-team college football playoff. Because I can just about guarantee you, if KU pulls off the upset over BYU, kiss your playoff hopes goodbye.
Hey, Max, I just sent you Celise's number. She's having trouble getting into our number, so if you don't mind trying to call her. But anyway, KU-BYU tomorrow, again, a late start out in Utah. Kansas, only a 3.5-point underdog. I found that interesting. And even so, I picked Kansas. Everybody else except the big fella picked BYU. We'll see if we're right.
I picked BYU.
You did. Sure. You picked Kansas for 4.
Hey, I picked Kansas, right.
And then Arizona State, Kansas State, all but Max picked K-State. Even giving 9.5 points, so we'll see.
But this is one of those games where it's more dangerous for BYU because Kansas has nothing to lose. And like I say, if you are a fan of the conference, you want BYU to win because there is so much SEC and Big Ten bias. They want to try to front load and back load that.
Not sure. I think if you're a fan of this conference, yeah, you'd like to see two teams get in. But the team that most fans would like to see get in is Colorado.
Well, I get that part, too. So Colorado have to win out. And
they could. They don't have a terribly difficult schedule.
But they have KU on the schedule, don't they?
No.
They don't? They might be spared then.
Yeah.
Because Kansas, they could have easily won that K-State game. Maybe.
All right. We'll get back to your thoughts there. Here's Selyse Blow from Wichita State Women's Basketball. Again, the Shockers at home tomorrow, 2 o'clock tip against St. Thomas at Coke Arena. Hello. How are you, Selyse?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well. So tell us about the start to the season. You played Missouri State, a very close game the other night at Coke Arena. They're certainly a highly thought-of program out of the Missouri Valley. Lost by 20 to Belmont. Have you guys started the way you'd hope you would? And what's the upside for the Shockers?
Definitely haven't started the way that we would hope, because we're 1-2. Obviously want to be 3-0 or at worst 2-1. But it's nothing that we can do about the Belmont or the Missouri State loss. But to piggyback off what you said about the Missouri State loss, I thought we had a great fight in the second half. We could have just laid down and died after our terrible second quarter, but I thought the 6 people that played in the second half played their butts off. We should have came out with the win, and I wish we did. We had a lot of mental lapses that stopped us from getting the win, but I think that our effort in the second half was great. Just wasn't good enough.
Yes, Selyse, this is Anthony here. And me being a follower of Wichita State program, I've had conversation with Coach Scales, and I noticed here recently they made an effort to bring back homegrown talent. And one of the emphasis is family and culture. So what kind of culture is actually being built within that program, and how would it relate to the gameplay on the floor?
As far as culture, I would say a hardworking culture, a culture that tries to just work hard and is working towards a common goal. You know, everybody wants to win. So I think that our coaches instill that in us as well, like coming ready every practice and trying to work hard and get drills right and go through the drills at a fast pace, if that makes sense. And I think bringing homegrown talent helps because the people who are from here, like they kind of know the city well and stuff, and then they know, like, they're older. So, like, Ella and Taylor, they're older. They have more collegiate experience, so they're able to give us more pointers on the court, whereas me being a sophomore or KP maybe being a freshman, we don't know. So having that homegrown and older talent and teammates helps a lot.
Selyse Blow, our guest, Wichita State sophomore guard from Murphy, Texas, played at Plano Senior High School. You're obviously a talented player and kind of already a leader on this team. So when you do stumble a little bit at the start and you lose by 20 in a game against a very good Belmont team, and you're a young player yourself, how do you process that in a leadership role and make sure that the other players on this team understand that, okay, that was difficult, but it's a long season. Let's regroup and put it together.
As a leader, you just have to take it to the chin. So me being a basketball player, I've been playing since I was in kindergarten, and I've never liked to lose, even from a young age. So you just got to look at it and say, and just look at film, like going to film sessions with a high head, and just take what coach is saying, take like the missed defensive assignments, and just take it into next game and try not to let it happen again. And for our younger teammates, and including myself, we just have something to keep their heads up because it's a long season. And I just tell my like younger teammates and myself that it's a long season and stuff happens. We're not, it's insanely hard to like be undefeated. So losses are going to happen. It's just how we regroup. And I always tell my teammates to keep their head high because we have other games to play. Like, we have quick turnarounds.
So you practice obviously with these players every day. You see them in and out and up and down. So what is the potential upside for Wichita State women's basketball? I know that that Coach Nooner knew that he had to upgrade the shooting with this team. It's off to a little bit of a rough start. Do you see these shooters improving? Do you see them really doing the job in practice?
Yes, including myself and Taylor Jamison. Unfortunately, Kylie's hurt, but she's a great shooter. KP, like a lot of us are always in the gym working on the threes because we know what has been said and how we can look sometimes on the court. So we're always putting in extra hours to try to improve our shots. Not every night's going to be our night, but we're definitely putting in the work to up our three-point percentages in the game.
All right. Well, the Shockers have St. Thomas tomorrow. Then they play Oklahoma coming up Tuesday night at Koch Arena. And then they are in a tournament in Florida in which their first-round opponent is Creighton. So tough schedule. Solis, we appreciate you coming on the show today, and best of luck.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Solis Blow from Wichita State Women's Basketball. Now, that's a program, much like the men, they got to figure out how to win here. And they're off to a 1-2 start. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see. You can't do it for them. They got to figure it out, right, big fella?
Right. And I've had conversation with Coach Antoine Scales, assistant on the team, on the coaching staff, and I asked him where does he see this program in 5 years, and he came out and boldly said, "I expect us to be hanging banners up in Koch Arena." So at some point, I'm pretty sure they will figure it out.
I wish the best. I think they needed to get off to a little better. You know, we'll see right. The banners when we see them.
Right.
First, they got to start winning some basketball games.
Right.
The big fella Anthony in for Jeff today. Jeff, we presume, will be back on Monday. Well, we're getting closer and closer to Thanksgiving, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
13 days until Thanksgiving.
You're going to need
my
some
favorite
fill-ins.
Holiday, I believe.
You're going to need some fill-ins for the holidays, aren't you?
I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. I know we won't have a show on Thanksgiving Day. And maybe not on the day after Thanksgiving.
Speaking of which, interesting thought, because, you know, they reformatted the high school finals, you know, football, to where they're going to be playing like two games on one day and then one game on that Saturday, as opposed to where they used to have it at different sites. Now they're condensing things down. And I believe 4A and 6A is playing like that Friday after Thanksgiving. And I think 5A has Saturday by themselves. To me, this is just me. It's just me. But my thought process is, seem like the highest classification should get top billing and have it by themselves. That's just my thought.
Well, you got 6A on Saturday.
Right. Oh, okay.
5A, I thought maybe that was starting next year, that the new format.
I thought it was.
Saturday is also 5A, and 4A is Saturday. I think we might have to look a little bit more into that.
Yeah.
I thought
that format was starting this year.
Not according to the K-Preps website, where I get my information on high school schedules. I can go to KSHSAA, but it seems like
right.
K-Preps would be on top of it, right?
Right, because I think I got the information from, as we call it, Keisha for short.
Keisha doesn't always know what the hell they're doing.
Hey, just y'all, kidding. Bob said that, not me.
Just kidding, of course. I would never want to get on the wrong side of the Kansas State High School Activities Association. So the 6A bracket on the Keisha website has that game on Friday, November 29th. You were right.
Right.
K-Preps better get its act together.
Right.
That's in 6A. Yeah, come on, K-Preps. 5A, the bracket there, is 7 o'clock on Saturday, November 30th.
And 4A is going to be
7 o'clock? That's crazy.
It's because 4A is going to be like the 4, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock game, all at the same site.
4A is 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, okay.
On the 30th, Saturday the 30th. 3A is being played at noon on Saturday the 30th. 2A
is going to be played
is being played at 6 p.m. on Friday the 29th. And 1A is being played on Saturday at 5 o'clock. I don't know. That doesn't feel that right to me. A 7 o'clock game on Friday evening, while fitting with the normal time that we have the window for high school football.
Right.
Doesn't feel special to me.
They want to condense.
Playing on Friday night.
They're trying to condense and put everything in one central location.
I applaud that.
I applaud that, but my thing, you know, is still, if there's going to be a single standalone game, the highest classification should have that game by themselves. That's just my thought process.
Yeah, I
can see. It might not make much sense to
somebody else. No, I can see. I can see. It makes some sense, Anthony. Not everything you say does, but that one.
I bet you I make more sense than Jeff.
Well, that's a low bar. That's a very low bar.
Jeff, he baited me into saying that.
But anyway, yeah, some different game times. And, hey, I applaud the fact that they're not all playing at 1 o'clock on Saturday, right? That waters it down to the point of it just doesn't seem like anything special at all. So if you put each game on its own stage,
mm-hmm.
where that's the only game being played at that time, that's definitely a move in the right direction. And for that, I applaud the Kansas State High School Activities Association, because then we can just focus on that game, right?
Right. And I know it's ways off. I think they also made changes as far as the basketball
they did.
Is concerned, too. So we might start seeing more games in one centralized location.
Hopefully more here.
Which I think that would be great, and see Coke Arena packed. So, yeah, it would be great for basketball.
Yeah, so we're making progress. We got a shot clock in high school basketball this year.
Finally.
But then not for the state tournament, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
That part right there didn't make no sense to me.
No, it's crazy.
I saw that. I'm like, okay, what did they have in their glass of beverage?
It doesn't. It's crazy because you coach a certain way the whole year and play a certain way. And then you get to the biggest games of your season, and they change the rules.
Right, we got to watch the Princeton offense.
Crazy.
And the Dean
Smith. Absolutely crazy.
And the Dean Smith four corners offense.
So we talked Chiefs and Buffalo earlier in the show. With we got the Buffalo perspective to some degree with Matt Perino from Cleveland.com from Syracuse.com. He's a beat writer for the Bills. Buffalo, a 2.5-point favorite in that game. Kansas City, 9-0. Buffalo, 8-2. Maybe the game of the year so far in the NFL. You picked Buffalo for 7. Max picked them for 6. The rest of us picked Kansas City. With the thought, Kansas City has some voodoo magic going.
They actually do. As a matter of fact, there's a perception going on about Kansas City that says that Kansas City is now the new New England Patriots. Now, that could be a good thing or a bad thing. They're either the most hated team now or they're the most respected team now. I would say they have to be the most respected team because there hasn't been any scandals. There haven't been no deflate
gate. I don't sense the hate, even with Taylor Swift and some of that stuff that push people toward thinking, dude, what's going on? Taylor Swift's harmless. Her relationship with Travis Kelce is a great storyline. Patrick Mahomes has done nothing in his NFL career to elicit any kind of hate.
Right. He didn't deflate no balls and then try to throw Aaron Rodgers under the bus and say that he liked his overinflated. I mean, there haven't been no plow gate. That would be the snow plow. I mean, no spy gate or nothing that.
Andy Reid's an easy coach to like.
Right.
Unlike Bill Belichick, who's not.
Well, you know, I got something to say about that. You know.
But, I mean, I respected, and my wife is the biggest Tom Brady fan I've ever known. And I respected the Patriots. So that's the greatest run we've ever seen.
So let me ask you.
The Chiefs are going to make a run at that because Patrick Mahomes is in his prime.
Right.
They're going to – some of these guys that are injured are going to be back very soon. Isaiah Pacheco.
That's going to be scary.
Yeah. So he's going to have, as he approaches December, he's going to start to get some of his guys back.
So let me ask this question. If the Chiefs pull off the three-peat, something that has never been done, and if they never win another Super Bowl after a three-peat, do you still put Patrick Mahomes in the GOAT conversation? And I know that's what
they're just absolutely in the conversation. I think he's got to win three more to unseat Brady. And he could. You know, Patrick Mahomes this year is, and last year, statistically, is not having the kind of years he had before that.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, he picked his team up in the playoffs, and they went on this crazy road thing, and they just went on the road and played their best football of the year. It's almost like the Chiefs, they're 9-0, remember.
Right.
But it's almost like they know they're going to win their division. It's almost like they just, they're waiting for the playoffs to really unleash.
As a matter of fact, speaking of playoffs, they've already started advertising for playoff tickets.
Well, they're in.
They're in.
I mean, think about it. They're not going to lose the next 8 games, but even if they did, they'd still probably get in. And they're going to win. The only real difficult games left for them are this one against Buffalo. I believe they have Houston. I can't remember whether that's home or on the road. And then they have the Steelers.
That could be a very...
Those three games are big tests. All of them are good.
That game against Pittsburgh, where's it at?
I think it's in Kansas City, but I'd have to look. And you're doing what Jeff does. You want me to have more information than I currently have, so I'm gonna find it for you. How about that?
I appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm a surly guy, aren't I?
Yes, you are a very stand-up surly guy. I appreciate that.
I don't know what that means, a stand-up surly guy.
You treat me better than you treat Jeff, and I appreciate that.
They have the Texans at home. I'm sorry, I was wrong. And then they're at Pittsburgh on Christmas Day. That's back-to-back games on the 21st, and then they turn right around on Christmas the 25th and play the Steelers.
Now, if memory serves me correct, it seems like we've seen Kansas City and Pittsburgh playing each other on Christmas before or some type of holiday.
I don't know.
It might have been Thanksgiving. I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. I'm not here to...
Well, we ain't going to go that far back.
I have no clue if they've ever played on Christmas. I know they're playing on Christmas this year, and I know the Chiefs play Houston on the 21st, and then they have a short turnaround before they're at home against Pittsburgh. But if they get by the Bills, then they have the Panthers, Raiders, Chargers are okay. Browns, they'll win all four of those games, I believe. That's my feeling. They've already got the road win over the Chargers. In one of those games, it was really tight. They've had a lot of tight games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of their 9 games have been a touchdown or less. All right, thank you, big fella. Always
appreciate
good.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you soon. Thanks to Max Power back in our studio. Thanks to all of you for listening. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday.